Not necessarily. I did get, you know, my fiance some flowers and chocolates and things like that. It's the first Valentine's Day that I've been engaged, so that was kind of nice. How about you all? You were skiing earlier. Was cross-country skiing, Elizabeth?
Yes, and then Peter surprised me with like a very lovely gift that wouldn't make sense to anyone else at all. He when we went to England a couple of years ago, in a junk store, I bought this crockery that we keep sugar in that's like Fortnum and Mason Stilton cheese. I bought it because that was like our favorite cheese when we lived in England. And like 6 months ago, Peter broke the lid, and I was really upset because this was like my souvenir. And he searched eBay and he found another one. And then it's part of a set. There's like another crockery that also held Fortnum and Mason Stilton cheese that's like 20 years newer. And so I have this set now. So now I need to start collecting crockery that previously contained Fortnum Mason Stilton cheese. It's like, it was a very exciting gift.
I'll have to try that cheese. I've never had it. So.
Oh, you have to. It's really good. It's blue. It's got like the veining of the
must be really good.
Very tasty.
It's like cheddar with blue in it, right?
You think it's like cheddar? No, I think it's tangier than that. It's like a blue cheese. It's yummy.
But it's not a white blue cheese.
No, I think it is a white blue cheese.
Is it a white blue cheese?
Yeah, it's white.
Oh, you lost me there.
I was pregnant in England, and that was one of the things that you weren't allowed to eat when you were pregnant. And it was like, when I got home from the hospital, that was the first thing was, there's a picture of me like coming home with Henry and like having this big plate of Stilton in front of me, like, whoa, Stilton.
Okay, we'll go ahead and get started. That's okay with everyone. If you've been moved over to the panelist area, if you could mute when you're not speaking, that would help with the sound quality. And if you've called in, I cannot promote you to a panelist. You will have to use the link. And if you don't have the link, please request it from me. So I guess that's for Michelle and also for the caller ending in 861.
I think I'm okay.
So where do we find the link?
I think I'm
okay. Okay. Is this caller 861?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, okay. If you send an email to kgriswold@a2council.org, I will respond.
A2gov.org.
A2gov.org. Sorry, I've been on Zoom too much today.
Okay. You go to the Jimmy Dore page, and you see his newest one is some Valentine's Zoom thing, but it's only 3 minutes, and he's just like announcing something that's not important. But under that,
hey Libby, you need to mute yourself.
Okay. Yeah, under that we've got his next one. It's from a day ago.
Libby, you need to mute yourself.
Big tech creating government.
Okay. There we
Okay, let's get started. Would anyone like to pull out an item from the consent agenda? And while you're thinking about that, I'll just mention to everyone here that this is an informal conversation. We'll go through the agenda items, allowing council members to speak first, and then I'll look to see if there's any attendees or members of the community that would like to speak.
So, Kathy, I guess, I mean, I don't have a whole lot of questions on this agenda, but just for the sake of conversation, CA 5, CA 11, CA 12, CA 21.
Okay. Does anyone else have consent agenda items? Okay. Ali, I'll let you go ahead then.
Well, CA 5, I believe, is in Ward 3. I haven't heard too much about it. I know Councilwoman Dish had some questions on her agenda regarding the responses and the feedback and the support for this. We did receive a couple emails questioning whether this was where our monies should be spent. And so anyways, hopefully maybe tomorrow, if anything, we could talk about it, but maybe Council Member Briggs has something to say about this, you know, because of transportation, but just wanted to put a couple minutes on it, but not a whole lot.
Go ahead, Erica.
I didn't have anything particularly to add from the Transportation Commission perspective. It hasn't been discussed from that capacity.
Okay.
This has been a very long process. And they're using money that was designated for traffic calming. At the same time, I agree, given how tight the budget is, should this be a priority item? And I can't answer that. So I guess we'll have to talk to staff on Tuesday night.
It's not just that. It's just with the feedback, and I don't
the
have
the host would like you to unmute
right
your
now.
Microphone.
Again,
you can press star
had,
6
had
to unmute.
Questions regarding, I think there are 31 mailers and only 10 people had responded, and of those 10, 7 were
right.
They believe, and that's so I was just, you know, as we talk about community engagement, getting more people involved, it was just for me, I just wanted to make the comment, it's not really a question, that, you know, only 10 out of 31 solicitations to be returned, and just 7 out of 31 to get a response in favor of. It's just, I wish there was a little bit more enthusiasm behind something like this than what we saw. I guess that's really all I have for that, and we can just move on, I guess, for tonight.
I actually have something to add. Lisa, you have your hand up. I should let you speak first.
No, you go first. You side first, and then I put it in my
The only thing that I would be curious about, and I would have asked questions to the agenda, but I had a crazy week. If the timeline of this project was fully within the pandemic, I would be curious to know if they actually did all of the meetings that they typically do in a project like this, because I followed a project traffic calming process through that happened in Ward 4 off Sio Church. And it was really interesting because there were multiple opportunities to engage. You know, there was the postcards, but then there were like an on-site meeting and like another meeting. And I guess I would be, I haven't looked at it recently. I kind of skimmed the questions, the agenda and the answers, but I'm surprised that only 10 people engaged in this process, because they really do. The process pre-pandemic was pretty robust and engaged kind of all the people on the street, at least when this happened in Ward 4.
So just my memory of this, I wasn't part, obviously, it started before I was on council, but just from the account, neighbors initiated it in the first place. And so
right. It's
not necessarily surprising to me that you only got 10 postcards returned out of 31, because they probably already felt like they had, it could be that they already felt like they weighed in. I mean, we don't know why people don't return.
That could be, but, yeah.
And then of the three that were not positive, one of them was blank. And one of them had like one sentence, which was not particularly negative. And it was just the one that said, you know, really, is this the first thing we need to be spending money on? So it seems fairly straightforward. And I don't know that street. So I don't know how urgent people might feel about that.
Well, the real issue is that they put a traffic signal at Washtenaw, Platt, and Glenwood, and they don't have a traffic light at Arlington, and so they're getting all this traffic that would normally go out on Arlington now cutting through Glenwood.
Okay.
But we really needed a traffic signal at Platt, and that's also where the County Rec Center is.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not an easy answer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, I the only thing I would say is that it's not so simple to say, well, gosh, the budget is pressured, so we should.
The host would like you to unmute your microphone.
Some of this money is already.
You can press
like,
star
we're spending
six
money
to unmute.
From the previous budget, and so it's not like not spending this money then means that it can be repurposed somewhere else. And so I guess that's just something else to think about.
Yeah.
Okay. Ali, would you like to take the next item?
Well, CA 11, it's just, I know this was, came across our desks, our virtual desks a couple months ago or even before that, just talking about looking at our parks and trying to get a plan. As to how we're going to replace and fund the replacement of the infrastructure that's aging and in need of, you know, it's at the end of its life cycle. So, you know, just putting some light on this, this is a retainer of sorts with the professionals on this, engagement, a 3-year program. And so, it'll be interesting to see what that reveals and how much,
mm-hmm.
how bad things are, or how maybe we'll get some good news one of these days and it's not that bad, but you know, it's one of the, obviously one of the highest scoring marks to get as a city is our park mm-hmm. system. And this is a pretty significant part of our budget. And we have millages that are dedicated for our parks. And so anyhow, just expanding on kind of the conversation that was just briefly touched on by staff recently as to the future of our parks and the infrastructure. Again, it's just more of a comment than a question.
Oh, okay. Do you want to move to the next consent agenda item?
Yeah, if no one else has anything on CA 11, CA 12.
I don't see any hands up.
CA 12 is just concerning right now to call for a street closure. I know the small businesses are hurting. And I was in a meeting not too that long ago with some of the merchant associations, Tom Crawford and the DDA, talking. This year's programming and activities of how the city can help in ways that were done last year and improve on them. In fact, areas of improvement in getting the feedback of the businesses that are, you know, most affected by these policies and really tailor the remedies and prescription to the unique needs that are here. And so that proposed program of closing the streets is tentatively being discussed as, you know, early April. And first, I think we need to understand where the DDA fits in and how they're going to support this with funding and with other policy issues. We have to talk about healthy streets and the construction that's going on Ashley. And so there's a lot in the hopper, obviously. But here we got CA-12 is asking for something to be closed before all that begins in April. And I'm just wondering whether that's the smartest thing to be doing right now in light of the pandemic. And it's hard for me to do that. As somebody who has a business downtown, you know, struggling as well. And to say that we're not going to give support in this case is a really hard thing to say.
Did the DDA partners take this up at all?
Partnership committee is really, we just mostly report out.
Oh, okay.
There is a lot of, you know, what are you doing here? What are you doing there? It's good. We need to understand what's happening in that silo, but that's not something that was actively, they're not actively involved in.
So, okay.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I appreciated Lisa's questions and answers that staff provided on this. I agree. This is a little bit of a hard closure because given COVID right now with the kind of super spreader strain that's in, this seems like one day that is kind of encouraging. We're helping to encourage perhaps behavior that's not going to be best for our community, and especially as the schools are thinking about reopening. I don't know. It's a difficult one. I agree. I mean, I recognize that businesses are really looking for for ways to survive, and this is obviously a big day for Connor O'Neill. So,
I'm sorry to interrupt there. I think this is being brought by the owner property. You know, the business is not something that's being brought forward by staff or the DDA or anything like that.
No, I understand that. I just mean,
yeah,
no, I understand it. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm saying just for the general audience as well. I'm sorry. Yeah. Yeah. Thanks. Sorry to cut Eric off. But yeah, it's just, I don't know. I don't know how I'm going to feel about this on Tuesday.
Oh, okay. Well, we can hear from staff. And welcome back, Lisa. I was looking for you. Okay, Ali, next item.
CA-21, the resolution to amend the city's attorney contract. This was discussed in the admin committee last couple times. The suggestion of changing when the evaluations are done for the city attorney and the city administrator and trying to reset calendars and clocks so that they line up in the case of the fiscal year for the city administrator, which makes a lot of sense to me, having the city administrator's evaluation be reflective of our performance in many ways, obviously, but I think our budget is a significant responsibility for that job, this title and description. And so the city attorney's office has had concerns of how the last evaluation was done. It was such a long time ago, it feels like.
Excuse me, Ali, but some of this may be confidential.
Yeah, I guess what this is bringing forth is just, maybe you want to describe it, Kathy, and then
just moving the date.
But I don't know what part is confidential, but I hope I didn't talk anything about anything that was confidential at this point.
No, you didn't. I think it's just sort of an administrative correction in terms of this is how it used to be a few years ago. There was the intent to change it, and I just pointed out that we needed to do it with a resolution rather than just let it slide as used to happen sometimes. So, Erica, did you want to speak to this?
Yeah, I mean, my understanding, and not knowing a ton about this, but was that this just came out of, this was also not necessarily coming from the city attorney's office directly, but also kind of consultant recommendation in terms of lining things up this fiscal year. So, I mean, I think there's been
the concerns
around, you know, just it making sure that it's appropriate that current council and past council members all get to weigh in on that evaluation and that those will, that'll be done anonymously. So sounds like everybody's still going to be able to participate in it. It's just sort of a matter of timing in terms of when it happens.
Correct. Yes. Okay. Ali, that was the end of the consent agenda items. Is
yeah,
that
just
correct?
Follow up on Council Member Briggs. That is correct. Amy Self Talent was there to help shepherd and help the committee come to the conclusion with the city attorney's contract and the moving it to a time that is set now near the city administrators. And it will give the prior council members who were here last year participation in the evaluation. I don't think there's anything different in the input that's given by current council members and those who served last. So that is correct. Thank you.
Okay. Now we're going to skip the public hearings and go to DB1, resolution to approve the St. Francis site plan. Would anyone like to talk about this?
I can only say that I have a special connection to this because it visited ZBA and I sit on ZBA. So we had to look at it. They needed special permission from us before it landed on our agenda. I don't think this is terribly controversial. I haven't heard any squeaks from anybody of opposition to it.
Yeah. Okay, thanks. Okay, I don't see any hands raised. DB2, resolution to approve 907 and 913 South Main site plan. Would anyone like to speak to this? No? Okay, we'll move on.
Backside, I guess, slow to raise my virtual hand. I'm not sure if Council Member Dish has anything to say. I just slow it again, get my tools up here and looking at this exact site. I'm picturing this being at the corner of Depot and North Main where there used to be, no.
Uh-uh.
Where is this? I'm sorry.
It's like Davis and South Main.
Oh, south, not north. Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right.
It's two older houses and those are going to be torn down and made into six.
Yeah, I think that's right. Six units. Yep. This also had to go before ZBA.
Yep. Yeah. Six units, six bedrooms. The developer would be interested in, the developer has put in a lot of kitchens. And has put in firewall.
The host will be informed that you would like to speak.
Be interested in breaking it down into one and two bedroom units at a future date when that wouldn't require so much parking as to make it totally unfeasible. So, and there's solar and he'll be, they'll have electric appliances and electric laundry facility. So the solar will offset. He estimates about 50% of that use, which would be a fair amount. The heating won't be electric. The surrounding neighborhood is receptive to it, and they're going to be very careful not to destroy some lovely trees. So it doesn't sound terrible. In terms of there haven't been, as you say, Elizabeth, a lot of squeaks on this one. So, but I should let you add from whatever you guys talked about at the ZBA.
I don't have much to add, honestly. I mean, I have gotten a couple emails from people who were paying attention and noticed it and said, like, oh, we're losing a couple old houses. That's too bad. But this is one of those locations that's really accessible and really close and to downtown. And it's going to be all right. I think the ZBA, I should know more of this off the top of my head. I should remember it, but we had this heck of a like super long ZBA agenda. It was crazy long, but we talked about this. It's something about the trees, I think, for setbacks. We had to make an exception around something, but it is what it is.
So,
yeah.
Okay. I don't see any hands raised. We'll move on.
I see one.
Oh, yeah.
Erica was
sorry. Yeah, and just one more. I think this one just points to Councilmember Dish's point around parking. R4C we've had a lot of recommendations committee work on that in the past that ended up not moving forward, one of which was need to take a look at our parking to address some of the challenges there. But we're seeing a lot of these big multiple bedroom units appearing, even though that's not really what we want to encourage in our community because of our parking requirements. And so at some point we're going to really need to take a look at that, look at parking and figure out how it is, how we can really encourage how some of our parking requirements are discouraging the type of development that we would maybe prefer to see, which is smaller units.
Okay. And Kay Wright, I believe this is Karen Wright.
Yep, it's Karen White. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Question about the project you were just talking about. Could you tell me, is the developer the person, a person who just happened to own the properties, or is this a professional development person?
I'm going to see if I can look it up, because I might have the most recent, it probably landed on ZBA most recently.
And then my one other question about that while you're looking that up is whether Missy Stultz has been involved in any of the planning when you have a site that fits well into the sustainability and innovation plans that I understand exist about transportation and downtown. Has that office been involved in this at all?
We can verify that, but it's my understanding that they have been involved in all development projects, and they do have an outreach staff member.
Well,
I don't think that they are yet. I think that's maybe something that Planning Commission is kind of working on, is trying to figure out how to get them involved a little bit more. I looked on the staff report, and I don't see a comment from their unit on this, so I don't see any specific feedback. But I think moving forward, that's something that we're trying to figure out how to get them maybe more engaged. But I don't know.
Okay, good.
Okay, well then, if you find the name of the developer, I would be interested in that. And otherwise, I'll let you move on.
Oh,
all right.
So thank you.
I did find an answer. It's South Main and Davis LLC. I mean, I think it's unlikely that it's somebody who has long-term owned those properties. I think if I had to guess, somebody probably did buy them from homeowners and is redeveloping them.
Okay.
I mean, that's just a guess.
And so that it's the name of the business is South Main and something dot gov.
And Davis.
It's Main and Davis. It's like a plus sign, not an ampersand. Main plus Davis LLC.
And they're
the owners.
They live in, I mean, their LLC is registered in New York. So, you know, maybe they own these as rental properties or maybe not.
That could be. They could have owned them for any length of time. We don't know.
Yeah. I think they're being rented now, but who knows, actually. I mean, the other thing to know about this one is we're just approving the site plan. This is not a rezoning. And so there is not a lot that we would be able to ask for of this developer in terms of, you asked about sustainability, transportation, whatever.
Yeah.
So the solar, the person is just doing because they want to do that. And they see it as desirable. It's very near transit and we asked if they would put a bench for people waiting for the bus, and the developer said sure. So what minimal things we could ask for on this, the person was, or the developer was perfectly willing to do. But in a case where we're not granting any kind of a variance, there's not a lot of role for the OSI to play because there aren't a lot of things we can ask for. Erica, if I am misstating anything there, please correct me.
No, I appreciate the information.
Oh, okay.
I have the application from ZBA in front of me, so I can tell you exactly what it is. We gave them a variance. There was a requirement for them to plant two trees in the right of way, But there were underground utility and communication lines that meant that it didn't make any sense to plant trees there. Like, they specifically should not plant trees there. So that was the only variance that they got from the ZBA.
Okay. Oh, okay, great. Alan, do you mind turning off your video and lowering your hand until we get to public comments?
Oh, I just wanted to comment. I know that house.
Oh, okay.
A friend of mine grew up in it from being a little kid, and his mother died a year ago, and he finally sold it. I don't think he knows what's happening to it.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you for that.
Okay. I'll lower my hand. I was just happening by.
Okay. Okay. May we move to C1. Okay. And never underestimate Alan, right? I learned my lesson.
Okay. Alan knows everybody.
I know, and everything. Yes. Okay. C1. An ordinance to amend Chapter 55, rezoning of 1.3 acres from Township to R1A Single Family District. The Telpas Knight property, 2731 Newport. Would anyone like to comment? Okay, I see Michelle Hughes has her hand up. Michelle, would you like to comment?
Yeah, I was trying to comment on the last one, but I only was able to raise my hand in the phone.
Any comments?
I agree.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I think we have, the more time, the less we spend on time, administrative issues that we really don't have the opportunity to make to influence, gives us more time to focus on policies and stuff that we should be spending time discussing.
Right. You know, just to echo that, if we have good policies in place, we don't need to go project by project. And typically, when something is like this and it's zoned for it, we have the policy in place. So, and I think we'll be hearing about that from staff in about a month or two. Yeah.
Oh, okay, good. Tom Stauber, would you like to say something?
Yeah, I would like to say something about this, and I say it from my experience as a developer who's worked in multiple communities and with multiple planning departments and planning commissions and city councils and township boards. Before we get rid of council's oversight on this type of thing, I think we need to have better training for our planning commission. Our planning commission is not trained right now properly. I would love to see us invest in some outside consulting to train both our council and our planning commission on planning and zoning issues prior to looking at eliminating this type of oversight. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, that moves us to DC1.
Council member Dish would like to add something.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, I was just going to say agreed. And I think that has come up on discussions around this idea that if things stop with the Planning Commission, people who sit on the Planning Commission are going to need to know more about zoning law than some of us do. Some people on Planning Commission are extremely knowledgeable, but yeah, I think that's a fair point.
Okay. Okay, thanks. Okay, back to DC1, resolution to appoint Aiden Sova, I hope I have the pronunciation right, to the Human Rights Commission. Any comment? Okay, DC2, motion to reconsider the February 1st, 2021 vote that approved the resolution to appoint amendments to the council rules. Any comments?
Yes, I guess that would be me. I just, you know, I know we had a late, lengthy debate on these rules last meeting. There were a few amendments that were proposed that were defeated 8-3 that I was on the losing side of those amendments. I'm bringing this back up for reconsideration because I was on the prevailing side of the main motion. I feel that there are issues that still remain a concern of mine, and would hope to get the privilege of having this reconsidered and perhaps discussed and talked about as it pertains to rules of the behavior of council members outside of our council meetings, and how it has, like, again, for a concern for me of First Amendment rights of what members of our body say or do on social media. I'm not necessarily condoning this behavior, but I'm not convinced that this is necessarily legal. I've reached out to members in our community who have civil rights.
The host will be informed that you would like to speak.
And they're going to look into this and see if there are First Amendment issues with the last part of the set of rules that we adopted. And
do you have a date for when we might get a response from the ACLU or these individuals?
I'm hopeful that there would be something that would be discussed this week by the membership of the group that is going to look into it, and have something back, you know, definitely by March 1st. But I don't know the appetite of the body to necessarily open this up and amend it and approve it or not. I know it was a lengthy debate. I know Councilmember Briggs was in on some of that discussion, and it was in favor of some of the amendments that were defeated. So, and I noticed she had her hand up.
Okay, Erica. Do you want to comment?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I mean, obviously I voted, I'm trying to remember in which direction, in favor of the, I too was concerned about potentially limiting speech outside of council meetings in terms of how that might play out. That amendment did not succeed. So I think until we, based on sort of our own legal advice, there doesn't seem to be internal concerns that the rules that we've just adopted are inappropriate from legally. I think I'd be curious to see if we get feedback from others in the community from different sources that suggest that we should have some concerns around this. I mean, I would suggest that until we have something more substantive to discuss, that it might be worthwhile holding off on that discussion, because I'm not sure that minds are going to be shifted on this this week. But if, you know, if there was new information that comes forward, or if this plays out in a way that seems inappropriate, I think there's always opportunities to reconsider our rules. And that there may be a little bit of need to see how this works. I think, you know, Councilmember Griswold and I and the admin team are trying to bring something forward that addresses a number of concerns. How this, we may have to sit with a little while and see how it actually works. But I, right. You know, I shared some of your concerns as well.
And I don't think there was as much legal vetting because it was presented as something that other communities have in their rules. And so I'd rather be proactive and find out what the ACLU states. And I don't think we need a lengthy discussion before we get an opinion from the ACLU, because Erica's right, we're just going to rehash what we said last time. Ali, you had your hand up again?
Well, Elizabeth had her hand up first.
Okay. Elizabeth?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that it was surprising to me how little progress we were able to make in discussion of this originally. And so I that caught me off guard. And so I was not surprised to hear that the ACLU was raising concerns, because they were the same concerns that I had when we first discussed it. And this actually isn't the first time that, even in the last few years that I've been on council, this isn't the first time the ACLU has challenged something that city council has done that has gone through our legal department. And I actually appreciate Kathy acknowledging that it didn't really go through our legal department in a serious way. What's interesting to me is that the rules as they are directed at council outside or speech outside of council meetings, they don't actually address things that are objectively measurable, like saying things that aren't true. They're directed at things that are subjective and discretionary in assessing. And so this was not something that I really felt like dying on this hill and fighting this fight, but it was brought up to me by an attorney. And so I, you know, if somebody else is willing to offer a professional opinion about this, I would welcome that support, because we are in a democracy where majority rules, and if a majority feels like this is an appropriate way to regulate speech, then we're subject to that. So I'm really happy for somebody else outside the community, somebody independent of council, to defend amendment rights.
Okay, Ali.
Well, Kathy alluded to it, and you echoed it, that the legal staff really didn't vet this as it does other things as adopted ordinances. They gave us their advice, their, you know, free advice. I don't think they spent too much time on it, and said, do as you will. But we did receive something that I will say that it does say that, you know, that yes, there are other, you know, municipalities who have adopted rules like this, but that they could be challenged. And at least one federal court has concluded that a rule against any negative mention of council members was impermissible viewpoint discrimination. Just because other municipality has it doesn't necessarily mean it's legal. And this notion of if a member's integrity, character, or motives are assailed, questioned, or impugned and punished by another member. Now, how do we know what the motives are? How do we get in there and know what motives
are? I don't think we do, but can I suggest that given the number of people that are signed up for public comment tonight, we have about 12. That we take this conversation to Tuesday night and then refer it to an expert. Otherwise,
well, people want to make public comment tonight or Tuesday night?
11.
Well,
we're still
doing fairly well on time. I don't think we've belabored this to the point of exhaustion here.
I do.
I asked it to be reconsidered because of parliamentary rules that I would need to do it now at this time. I can't wait, you know, till I find out something else and then ask for this to be brought back. That's why I'm bringing it back on Tuesday.
Oh, And no, I agree.
I would like my vote to be reflective of what I believe is right, in my opinion, as an elected official. And I'm going to be hopefully able to change my vote on this so that as it goes down in history, I voted to be against this because I don't feel it's legal.
Oh, okay. Thanks. Yeah. I don't mean in any way to belittle it. I just think that we need more information. And I agree. Procedurally, you have to bring it back for reconsideration, and then we may postpone it until we get the ACLU opinion. Does that seem reasonable?
Well, I'm not sure what reasonable is. It's up to the body. But
oh, okay.
My position of bringing this back, I want to just explain it that I had to in this case to be able to correct my vote. So historically, I can go back and be comfortable with how I voted on this matter. I just frankly am not in favor of voting for something that I feel is unconstitutional.
Reasonable. Okay, thanks. The last item is DC3 resolution to request that the city administrator determine the cost and feasibility of supplemental snow and ice removal of our pedestrian infrastructure to improve pedestrian safety within the DDA boundaries. Ali, do you want to go first?
Thanks. And I know this has been a part of a much larger conversation, and Councilmember Briggs has also been working on things in concurrence. There was the prior resolution that came to council 2 weeks ago that asked us to look at a citywide snow removal and clearing of the sidewalks and driveway aprons and crosswalks. And that got postponed indefinitely. I wasn't necessarily in support of that one because I just thought it was just hardly way too ambitious and not, I just didn't feel like I could support something that didn't have much of a chance in succeeding. I feel that this resolution, puts a more of a laser focus on the problem, looks at the DDA district, the DDA boundaries, because for many reasons, that's where most of our injuries and crashes and fatalities occur. It is the area of the most density. Could have the support and should have the support of the DDA in funding. You also have the associations who can help provide some additional resources. And so with that and many other reasons, I felt it was important to try to bring back that stalled attempt into this issue of pedestrian safety. We do focus on ADA compliance, and we focus on the crosswalk aprons. And so hopefully we can get this in place. But it obviously is up to the body. But I think
the
this right here
will
is a very
like to
smart and strategic. And I will just say that Grand Rapids did last year, 2 years ago, look into this for a citywide snow clearing. I think they have like 900 miles of sidewalk in Grand Rapids. And after doing a pilot program for 1 year, they came back to council and they said, we should just focus on these business districts because that's where it's most feasible. And so, I just will say that we can just look over to Grand Rapids and see the results they have had. So I know Councilmember Briggs has something to say.
Okay, and I just want to add that I believe, Ali, I sent you the revised resolution that will be considered by the Transportation Commission on Wednesday. And I also want to mention that I was at the Bike Alliance meeting today, and they talked about buying equipment to clear the sidewalks in Ypsilanti. So I think they're just doing the downtown area. And so there's more to learn about that. And also, Erica, I guess one of the things that we should consider is the different funding options and whether a pilot could be done in the DDA area, given that some of the snow removal is already being done with association funds, not city funds, and then the university does their snow removal. But go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, yeah, based on after the last council meeting, Councilmember Griswold and I are asked if I could take this through Transportation Commission. Obviously, there's a variety of different community interests on this and a lot of different discussions around sidewalk, around snow, having winter access to our sidewalks year round. And so kind of one of my concerns was just that the previous resolution focused a little narrowly on one problem, which is absolutely a problem. Your resolution, Ali, focuses on kind of one area of our city where that's a problem. And so what the Transportation Commission resolution is, what is suggesting, it's actually a resolution to come to council, and then it's looking for Transportation Commission input. It takes a step back and has us do three different things. One, pretty quickly ask staff by midsummer to take a look at our current policies and procedures and figure out if there are ways that we can tweak it, tweak kind of our current configurations to actually have better access to our sidewalks year round, thinking about winter maintenance, but also has that looking at what those solutions might be by area of our community, because we can imagine what those solutions might look like downtown might be different than our other commercial corridors or residential neighborhoods. And so a lot of the, you know, we've had discussions around this in our community for quite a while. I think a lot of those maybe quicker fixes are maybe more apparent. Then next winter would have us doing a more comprehensive assessment of what our conditions look like in our community to understand the scope of our problem, because Snowbuddy, for example, has done some good studies, but it's not, they've acknowledged in conversations with me that it's not necessarily very scientific. You know, they're kind of looking relatively narrowly at certain areas. And so I think we know that anytime, you know, just when one sidewalk is in front of a property, when that's not shoveled, that's kind of the broken link in our system. So we know that just when we have, we know it's a problem everywhere, but it would be nice to get a handle on the fact of where this issue, which neighborhoods or which corridors might be facing more substantial problems. And we really need to probably start that conversation at the beginning of the winter to be sure that how much snow we're going to get the rest of this winter. And have to figure out how to do that in a cost-effective way. And then would come by next year at about this time, a more, Snowbuddy, for example, has just issued their report. There are calls for really comprehensive reforms of our system, looking at citywide snow removal, looking at what sort of governance models or funding strategies we might take to get us there. And those are pretty substantial conversations that we need to have. They require us to figure out different funding sources if we wanted to go down that road. So we need a little more time to think about that. So it gives us an opportunity to kind of step back and look at this at the solution, you know, at these issues, I guess, a little more comprehensively. So my hope is that the specific issue that you're asking for in this resolution that you're introducing this week is actually already incorporated in a resolution that's going to come back to council by the beginning of March. And I've been trying to reach out to important stakeholders who've been developing this. I've chatted with Snowbuddy and Washington Bicycling Walking Coalition, DDA, city staff, trying to get their input to make sure that we're asked, and then to make sure that the timelines are actually feasible. I do think the DDA, it may be useful to be thinking about, you know, pulling together a committee to really assess. There's different funding sources in the DDA than elsewhere. So we can take advantage of. So I'm hoping that it's already coming forward, but I think it would be useful to see this come back in a report that has these other areas addressed as well, because these are really long-standing conversations in our community that I'd like to get some answers to.
Okay. I've agreed with most of what you said, but I think that Ali is looking at a DDA pilot project, and I don't know if that's yet this year that you want to do something, Ali, or
well,
that's not feasible.
I want something to be done quick, and yeah. My concern with what has Councilmember Briggs just described, and I'm looking at the resolution, thank you for sending it, asking transportation and asking for a much more comprehensive look at this issue. I wouldn't mind seeing perhaps both approved by council and supported. I think we should take a look at, you know, our core and see what could be done there with a policy. We have an opportunity. I know there's you know, the biz group here downtown does their snow cleaning. We have the DDA and its ability to spend money on its own area and different tools and different things. And I don't see this in conflict with the resolution that may come in March. This work can be done. It can be incorporated in that more comprehensive plan. It will not get in the way of that. What will happen is we'll get quicker relief. We'll get action taken sooner, especially in the core area. And then when we're talking the citywide policy, that's going to take much more time. It's going to take much more time. It's going to take much more funding. It's going to be a lot harder to pull off. When the resolution here that is being proposed in March or sometime is to take existing data and field observations from this past winter. Now, I think you're going to need to take, you know, more than just a sampling of this winter, perhaps. And we didn't start this winter with that objective, so I'm not sure how kind of quality data we're going to get. The enforcement mechanisms are complaint driven, so we're not going to get necessarily a good clean set of information about this. You know, we're asking for, you know, something to come back and a final report to be due to council by March of 2022. I would like to see get done.
Can I just say, Ali, that possibly there could be an amendment to the resolution that would fast track it in terms of right now the Transportation Commission is going to review the resolution Wednesday night and have it back to council on March 1st. So you want could be added, then we might be able to get it.
The thing is, it's not even on the agenda. What is on the agenda is the resolution that I'm bringing forth about the DDA. And, you know, if that agenda does come, then if that resolution does come, then I'll have some amendments. But speaking to the agenda item that's on the 16th, I would say it's very prescribed. It's narrow. It's tailored. It has the resources and legs to succeed. It doesn't, it will not fly in the face of anything. It would only help speed up that other plan that if it comes through, the DDA area consists of the University of Michigan business organizations and the DDA itself. It's a plenty rich resourced area that we can have a very successful early start at a bigger, much more comprehensive citywide policy that can come years later.
Okay. Yeah, I totally support what you're recommending. I'm just looking at the mechanics of fast tracking it. But Erica, you had your hand up?
I had my hand up first, actually.
Oh, okay.
I just want to offer support for the idea that, like, we do have a unique opportunity in that we have institutions that exist in the downtown and organizations in existence to actually fund a program or talk about how to fund a program in a way that could more easily transfer to other neighborhoods of the city. And so it is a unique opportunity. I appreciate what Ali is saying in terms of the nimbleness of the downtown structures, the downtown associations and the DDA. And I appreciate your window into that, Ali, because I'm not on DDA partners. I also looked at the resolution on the transportation agenda, and the timeline is so very, very long. And legitimately, like, you have to have a super long timeline for a super massive project and data collection and all of that. But the DDA is in the hat. I know from the things that Ali, you and Jane brought forward over the course of the last 2 years, like, I understand how nimble the DDA is in terms of problem solving. And so it really is a unique opportunity for us to take this problem that exists citywide and ask that this isolated area of the city problem solve around it and sort of work through it. And we can learn from it. And so I appreciate the suggestion. I just think it's, like, it's really smart. And it, like you said, Ali, it's not really in conflict with the other long-term, like, planning and reports and committees and all of the other things that I see in the transportation thing that has an extremely long timeline. So I just don't see why the both of them have any way one is in conflict with either. It doesn't. They both are fine.
Yeah, I would just add the timeline in terms of what Ali is talking about is really more the July timeframe in terms of how this is already built in. I think it's a fair amount of duplication is actually within this resolution. I do think that it's important that we bring forward resolutions in conjunction with kind of having talked to the commissions and the key stakeholders and find out kind of what timelines are possible and what's accessible. And I don't know that, you know, I completely 100% agree that probably one of our easiest places to start is the DDA, because we've got so many different partnerships down there that we can do some pilot projects. We almost to put in explicitly do a pilot project in this resolution that to Transportation Commission, it seems a little bit premature because we don't actually know what's going to come out of some of the fact findings. So we didn't want to prescribe something like that, but that's already a discussion that's happened with staff around wanting to see the feedback that comes out of the work that happens this summer and that comes out of the collection that happens next winter. You're right, Ali, it would be too soon. It'd be too late in the season to really do a good study this year. So, you know, comes out of next year to be able to really facilitate that. But I don't, you know, I don't think that, correct me if I'm wrong, did you coordinate with anybody as you were kind of putting together your resolution?
I coordinated with city staff, you know, the city administrator's office, and, you know, just with conversations that we've had. I do appreciate, you know, incorporating other boards and commissions into making our policies. They are our advisory, you know, entities, and they do a very good job at advising us. But we know that this is a city council issue that is going to need to be taken up because of the budget impacts. And I don't preclude them from, you know, participating and engaging with this. I just want to, you know, I don't want to wait another 2 years. I don't want to wait for another fatality to happen. I think that we can get out there sooner. We can get a pilot program going. We can get and it can be on parallel paths with the resolution that's being proposed to come in March. I think that's an ambitious one and very encompassing, but it's going to take a long time before we can employ it.
So, Ali, it would be helpful to document what's happening already, because I know the Main Street Association Biz or whatever is already doing it, and that Tom Crawford was working with some of the other street associations
We talked with them, and the fact is, you know, the Biz is not a part of the Main Street Association. The Biz is its own thing, and the reason the Biz started was simply because of these crosswalks, is because of the corners that get blocked in with ice and jammed up. I mean, when I actually went down to pay my property taxes last week, I almost tripped in the corner of 4th and Washington because of the ice that's there. And when you get weather like we have now, it's going to stay there for 2 weeks, 3 weeks. It's going to stay there until things thaw out. The associations get most of their money from art fair. they're broke. And so we're not going to get any, you know, they need help, and they're going to be putting less things into the community because of their empty coffers from no art fairs.
Okay. I would just hope that we could work out at least moving forward before Tuesday night with either some kind of consolidation or understanding that they're unique projects. Okay.
I did reach out about that.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. I have to go, but.
Okay.
Bye. We're done with our business. It's just public comment. Lisa, did you want to say something? Oh, you're muted.
I just unmuted quickly. Yeah, I've got to go in about 10 minutes, and so I'm sorry to miss some of the public comment, but I will be listening closely.
Oh, okay. Thank you. John Smith, you have your hand up.
Yes. I've submitted a proposal for a proposed resolution to recognize the terms NIMBY and YIMBY as bigoted, offensive, and toxic. I'd sent out some emails. Should I read it?
Could you summarize it?
Yeah, I just want the council. I think these terms NIMBY and YIMBY are not helping, and I'd like the council to recognize them as simply bigoted and offensive and toxic terms. That doesn't mean that they're banned or there's any type of sanctions on anybody who uses them. It's just that the council is letting everybody know that these terms are not helpful. I think the biggest problem I have with these terms is that they seem to be promoted by people who have an agenda, and they're used to suppress a robust debate and discussion on housing policy and on land use issues. And I find these terms to be very offensive. And I think, I want them. So I just want the council to recognize that these terms are, you know, not constructive as far as, you know, because as people say, language matters.
Correct. And I will take this information and combine it with a couple of other projects that are being discussed right now. One is to create a glossary of terms that we regularly use. And we have a professional writer who has offered to coordinate that project. And then we're getting additional words that should not be used. One of them is minority. That is considered offensive at this time. One of the challenges is that the use of words and whether they're offensive or not seems to change. So I think it would be helpful to have a committee look at words and update what we want to define and what we want to consider words to avoid. Let's put it that way. I don't want to use a stronger term right now, but I appreciate your resolution and we'll combine it and take it under advisement. Thanks.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I think that's a good way to start it. So
all right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Bye. Okay. Doctor, would you like to speak?
Yes, I would like to speak at the public commentary time.
Okay, it's public comment time now.
Okay, well, then I would like to speak.
Okay, thank you. You have 3 minutes.
Hello, everyone. My name is Mojgan Savavi Esfahani. I am a public health advocate. I am a human rights advocate, and I have been living in Ann Arbor for the past many, many years. What I want to demand again, after many, many years of demanding the same thing, is that we recognize people of Palestine are being oppressed by Israelis, and it is our job to do something about it. I want the city of Ann Arbor to pass a resolution that says we are against military aid to Israel. To this end, yesterday at this time, I set up a change.org petition to you guys, to Ann Arbor City Council, that says we are petitioning you to pass this resolution. We are against military aid to Israel. In this very short time, 250 people have signed this petition. There is huge community support for this demand. We are against military aid to Israel. We are asking you to do this. Pass a resolution that says, we, City of Ann Arbor, are against military aid to Israel. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Karen Wright.
Hi, guys. Karen White here again. And I'm sorry to say it's about 2857 Packard. We all went through a pretty bruising effort to see that site developed in a better way a couple of years ago, and then COVID kicked in. And now, because of COVID, the project that had been planned has fallen apart. And Thrive Collaborative has worked with architects from the University of Michigan and landscape architects and environmental folks to come up with a very much better development. And that's going to be coming hopefully to City Council in the form of a resolution in a few weeks. It was Travis is putting together, Travis Rodina and Julie Grand are going to be putting in a proposal to authorize city staff to work on this project. I wanted to let you know that the neighborhood residents have held 5 or 6 meetings now with Thrive Collaborative. We're very supportive of the project. We are really encouraged by the way it rethinks systemic development and sustainable development in our neighborhood. And I want to make sure that you guys are alert for it and watching for it so that when you see it, you will hopefully be more educated. In the meantime, if you'd like to check out the Thrive Collaborative website and or the plyplus.com, which is Ply Architecture, for much more information about the development that's proposed, I would appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you. And Ann Bannister is here to speak, but I can tell you I have been following this property for a couple of years now. And I'm really excited about it. And Ann, would you like to speak on this topic?
I did. Hi, thank you. I wanted to speak on that Mr. Smith's comment about language. And then I also did want to, Karen, thank you for that update on the Packard property. And I just needed to add that time is of the essence, that this is great that there's a resolution coming authorizing city staff to work on it. But to me, they've already been working on it in earnest all of 2020 and before. So my concern in my discussions with Bob Weber, the landowner, is that he, as nice as he, I have found him reasonable and a nice person, he has been horsing with this project for too many years, and he wants it to be over and so he can move on. And that's totally reasonable. He said that over and over many times. And so that's my only advice to Ann Arbor, is that we should move quickly with a quickness on it so that this opportunity does not slip away.
Okay, thanks. I agree. And Ann, you wanted to speak on another topic?
Yes, just the Forbes editorial leadership in their use about language wrote an article in October of 2020 where they said that they will be capitalizing the letter B in black, underscoring that black is a group of people, not a color. And they will also be no longer using the word minority to identify or classify races of people. And so those are two particular words, in addition to the other caller with using NIMBY and YIMBY acronyms, two other words that to bring to your attention. Thank you.
Oh, okay, thanks. Yes, I think that we need to look at this terminology, and as part of our equity work, we also need to look at populations that are persecuted and possibly have one of our existing commissions take on that task. I'm really just thinking out loud right now, and so obviously there's more work that needs to be done. I will bring it up in the admin committee, though, to see where we might place this activity. So thank you.
I wonder if the Human Rights Commission might be a place.
I was thinking about that, but we probably need to better define it first. But that's probably the place. Oh, okay. Tom, would you like to speak?
Yes, I want to. Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Thanks. I do want to speak on the Packard Road property. I support the efforts that are being made. I want to thank Ann Bannister, who got the ball rolling on this a long time ago. Things are lining up now for a lot of different reasons. This is something that the community can be really proud of. The old growth forest there, hopefully something can be done with the old farmhouse there. But in general, having reasonable development so we can have, you know, a high density of flexibly using the site so as to preserve the natural resources and having a high concentration of where the building envelope would be. This all started with a pretty rough R1E zoning category being put on this property, which pretty much mandated clear cutting the property. So I would also like us to look at a couple zoning decisions like R1E. Is it something that we like based on the number of times it's been used and what we've gotten out of that? And I'd like us, you know, I'm transitioning along a certain path here, but the Trinitas, for example, the Weber property, this Packard Road property, we turned down, we're sued on, and the developer had us over a barrel because of R1E being by right. And similarly, Trinitas up on Pontiac Trail, we turned it down, the developer sued us and had us over a barrel because it was by right. And I don't believe we re-examined that to learn from what happened there. Somebody else could come in with the same kind of project somewhere else, and nobody liked that project, Planning Commission, City Council, the public. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to see us do something to at least take a look at that. And if we don't like it and don't want another one, what are we doing to prevent another one? Because it was by right, and we could get another one any day now, which ties back full circle to what Ann Bannister was saying about the, there's a little bit of urgency on the Weber property, the Packard property, because there is an approved plan out there. I believe the approval came as part of a consent judgment, but that we don't, as a community, we don't really want to see that get built. So let's explore these options. I'm excited about them. Let's do it hastily. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, Alan Haber.
Unmute. There I am. Hello.
Hello.
Happy Valentine's Day. I was just opening my email and I saw there was this Zoom and then I forgot all about it. Well, happy Valentine's Day.
Thank you.
I have two things I wanted to say, having the opportunity. I'm glad that the Council of the Commons got appointed, though the message I sent to the council before that happened to either increase the size or ensure that one of the appointees is a person who is recognized as one of the tribes. There should be an Indigenous voice on this, a council and in the construction of the commons. The Indigenous world and culture has some sense of what commons is about, and we should ensure that that consciousness is part of our council, however that council comes to be functioning. And then I sent to you all and many other people the desire that we open in some way the commons around Earth Day, and that we develop in Ann Arbor all over town the conversation about what really is the calamities impending on the climate. You know, what are the big things that need to be done? What can we do locally? What do we do in our own personal lives? And what great ideas have we heard about? And in requesting that everyone, this is, you all know, this is a big deal for our survival in the next, you know, relatively few years. That we should each be a conversation starter and a conversation spreader from over our back fence to our immediate neighbors, and try and see this as something that we pollinate all over town, that is not for the authority, so to speak, to guide what is the policy. It's for people to get involved and see that our own knowledge and our presence is part of this. So I encourage you all to be models of conversation starters and conversation spreaders. It's much better than the other kind of spreading that we are so concerned about. And somehow bring these conversations by Earth Day to the center of the city on the commons. And we've had some conversations so far with Missy from the Zero Carbon, and are going to be included into their next discussion meeting as to what the city is doing. But it seems like, you know, all across town, people should say, let this Earth Day, as President Biden has said, let this be a time of consciousness everywhere about what is the situation and what can be done and how difficult some of the things are to do. So I hope that you will each see yourself as conversation starters and spreaders and be models to how people in Ann Arbor and our precincts and our wards, and how we can in some way present visually or another way in the center of the city the kinds of ideas to engage people. Likewise, in the schools.
Yep.
Okay, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, we were having some technical difficulties. So, okay. I don't see any other hands up. Okay, I apologized. I just assumed everyone who was here wanted to speak. Okay, this ends public comment.
Did we already hear from phone number 677 and phone number 556?
They don't have their hands up, I don't believe. Let me see.
I'm looking in the attendees.
Yes, they do. Okay. Michelle Hughes, your hand is up associated with your phone number.
The host would like you to unmute your... You are unmuted.
That's fine. I just didn't want to. Yep. Okay. I'm with you. Okay. Phone number ending in 556. Would you like to speak?
You are muted.
Hi, this is Ralph McKee. I had a couple of quick points. I heard the speaker talk about the pejorative terms NIMBY and YIMBY.
Yes.
And I guess it would be useful to have a language clarifier as to that. I would view NIMBY as a pejorative term, as I've seen it used. YIMBY was actually an organization, I think, and maybe still is. And I'd be curious as to whether people who are actually in that organization or associated with that movement would consider that a pejorative term. If they do, then I'd stop using it, I guess. So if that comes into your language analysis, I'd like to hear how that goes. The other comment I had was about the rules. I had a brief discussion, or maybe a not so brief discussion, at Elizabeth Nelson's coffee hour earlier today. I'll try to strip it to simple. I think that the venue part of it, which in other words, comments made by council people outside of council meetings on social media, what have you, I view that as fair game for regulation if the conduct or posts are outrageous, and I would compare that to the Marjorie Taylor Greene situation. It's identical. It's elected officials, but it's obviously outside of meetings. I still think that counts. Obviously, I'm not comparing content. I don't think anybody on this council's done anything like alleged there, but I think that it's appropriate to be looking at that. On the other hand, I really do not agree with the content regulation in the rule as it's written now, because I think to essentially outlaw accusing somebody of hypocrisy is effectively chilling what I would consider robust debate. I think it will be hard to craft language that fits that, because you'd be perfectly within your bailiwick to bar raw personal attacks or lies. But I don't think the way it's worded now is a good idea to try to limit speech. I think you do have to be able to say something about someone's motive as part of a robust public debate. And I'm happy that there will be somebody who is well-versed in that arena to comment on that. So I hope you can get that reconsidered and then postponed until you get somebody who's an expert in that arena to comment on it. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other comments? Okay. Communication from council? Okay. I'll just say that I hope that work continues on the change.org petition, and I will take that topic up with the admin committee. I also want to mention that work continues on remediation of the Gelman plume. I'd like to thank Congresswoman Debbie Dingell for her assistance, as well as Representative Yusuf Rabi. We had a closed session last week, and hopefully we will continue to work on solutions, and they will be in open session so that we can be much more transparent. Thank you. Okay, that ends the caucus tonight, unless there's other comments. Nope. Okay. Happy Valentine's Day.
Thank you.
Nope.
Can you guys
hear me? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Can anybody hear me?
Fine. Yes.
Blaine had called and he wanted to also speak about our petition, and you guys didn't get to speak to him.
Yeah, the phone is not working properly, but I'll just say that you saw the change.org petition. You saw it's got 252 signatures, and
yes,
it's kind of like we've had our hands up for 20 years. And, you know, a lot of bad things have happened to the Palestinian people, the massacres, all that. And even in our town, the kind of language that Ali has had to endure that nobody else has. All these things, I think, feed into each other. And I think a good way to give some protection to the Palestinian people is for a city council resolution to say, come on, at least stop shoveling our money and our arms into Israel, at least that much. And you can be sure that resolution is going to be heard all over the world. The Jerusalem Post will scream about it. People will call you and demand that you retract it. And basically, it'll become a news item and it'll offer protection to the Palestinian people. That's all. I know you got to get home. I'm done.
Okay. We're home, but I appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Okay. Goodbye, everyone.